Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets you'll see overhead in December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment, just bring your curiosity. December is the month of the solstice, when the sun appears farthest south in the sky. That means winter for us and summer for Australians. This year, the December solstice comes at 11:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 21st. You know, virtually every culture has celebrated the winter solstice as a seasonal turning point, a sign that brighter, longer days lie ahead. But none of them celebrates the solstice because it's the longest stargazing night of the year. The truth is that December is one of the best times of year to watch the stars and planets. For one thing, unlike much of summer, you step outside and the air just looks clean. And clean air makes the stars and planets easier to see. Then you factor in what this season has to offer, which is a lot. And it gets dark early, by 5 p.m. in most places. Heck, I sometimes try to sneak in a little stargazing before supper. Before we get to the stars and planets of this holiday season, I want to let you know about two out-of-the-ordinary events taking place this month. The first is that this should be an especially good year for the Geminid meteor shower, which peaks on the nights of December 13th and 14th. Pretty much everyone knows about the Perseid meteors that arrive each August. But the Geminids are the year's most unappreciated meteor event. We call this shower the Geminids because the meteors you'll see all seem to streak across the sky from the direction of the constellation Gemini. Ordinarily, astronomers can count on the Geminids to give us a pretty good show, maybe one meteor per minute from a really dark location. And that count might be higher this year because there will be no interference from moonlight. Also, unlike some meteor showers, which have a sharp but brief peak, the Geminids stay strong for a day or so. And finally, because Gemini rises around the end of twilight, you can enjoy them before it's time for bed. But you will see more of these shooting stars if you can stay up past midnight. The second special event this month is the arrival, at least in northern skies, of Comet Catalina. Discovered by astronomers 2 years ago in Arizona, this icy visitor has trekked many billions of miles from the distant Oort cloud to blaze through the inner solar system for the first time. Now, it's not a naked-eye showstopper like Comet Hale-Bopp was back in 1997, but these days, sky watchers will settle for just about any comet that gets decently bright. To find it, you need to be up before dawn, say about 5 a.m., and the sky needs to be really clear. Let's set the stage. The most brilliant star you'll see is the planet Venus, which starts the month about a third of the way up just before twilight begins. Well to the upper right of Venus is Jupiter, and well to its upper left is the bright star Arcturus. The predictions say that Comet Catalina might become just barely bright enough to be picked up by eye as a tiny, fuzzy star. It'll be low in the east for much of December, but you'll have an easier time finding it on the 7th, when it's directly left of Venus by about 5 degrees. That's a little less than the width of your three middle fingers held up with your arm outstretched. It should be much easier to spot if you have binoculars. You get an extra pre-dawn treat on the 7th, because a very thin crescent moon will be quite close to Venus. They'll be beautiful together. Another good date to look for the comet will be before dawn on New Year's Day, and I just know you'll all be up and wide awake then. That's when Comet Catalina will be just a half a degree to the upper right of the bright star Capella. Now, just to round out the pre-dawn sights, look between Venus and Jupiter for two comparably bright beacons, but pay close attention to their colors. The one with an icy white light is the star Spica, and the one with a warmer hue is the planet Mars. Late in December, you can also catch the planet Saturn, very low down to the lower left of Venus. Now, it's true that a lot of the pretty sights these past few months have been in the pre-dawn sky, but the view after sunset isn't bad at all. We might be on winter's doorstep, but the evening sky is still hanging on to some of the stars of summer. For example, look well to the upper right of where the sun sets, about halfway up in the sky. That bright, icy white star is Vega, which is sometimes called the summer star because it rides high in the sky during the balmy evenings of July and August. But now it's low in the west, as if deflated by the oncoming cold. Catch it soon after dark, before it sets for good until next summer. Above Vega, by about 1.5 times the width of your fist at arm's length, is a slightly dimmer star called Deneb. It forms the head of the Northern Cross, which stands more or less upright during the evening at this time of year. Do you see it? The cross is about 2 fists tall. This is what astronomers call an asterism, a pattern of stars like the Big Dipper that's easy to spot but not really a full-fledged constellation. Now swing completely around until you're facing east. Around 8 p.m. early in December and by 6 p.m. at month's end, you can take in what Sky and Telescope columnist Fred Schaff calls a tower of brilliance. It starts near the horizon and climbs all the way to overhead. Start low down with the constellation Orion and the easy-to-spot vertical trio of stars that mark his belt. To Orion's left, by a couple of fists, are the twins of Gemini, anchored by the stars Castor and, below it, slightly brighter Pollux. This is the general area from which the Geminid meteors will seem to originate as they zip across the sky. Above Orion is Taurus the Bull, whose angry eye is marked by the reddish superstar Aldebaran. Look a little more than 1 fist above Aldebaran for a fuzzy patch of light. This is the Pleiades, a tight little nest of stars. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters. If you've got decently sharp eyesight, you'll see that the 6 brightest stars of the Pleiades form a tiny dipper shape. Now, don't confuse this with the real Little Dipper, which is much bigger and located due north in the sky. To Aldebaran's upper left is the bright star Capella. This is the alpha star in the constellation Auriga, which you can make out as a broad, misshapen hexagon with Capella at its top. Now, Auriga has a split personality. He's either a charioteer or a goat herder, depending on whom you ask. In fact, Capella means she-goat, and just to its right is a faint, narrow triangle of stars sometimes called the kids, as in baby goats. Continue upward and a little to the right of Capella to spot a loose chain of stars, about 2 fists long, marking the mythical hero Perseus. And directly overhead is Andromeda, the chained maiden of Greek mythology. Her mother, Queen Cassiopeia, is the bright zigzag of 5 stars to Andromeda's left, toward north. For more details about all things astronomical, check out our website, skyandtelescope.com. Until next month, I wish you clear skies.